So during today's webinar, what we are going to be covering is really the PUA, Paid Up Additions Rider, which I will always refer to as a cash dumping, throwing money straight into the cash allocation. And we're going to go through everything in the sense of flexibility, as different companies have different flexibility terms around that, fees or loads that we'll often see that many companies have, and then the net returns or net growth. We're going to go into full detail on that. So let's continue on here. We'll go through each item, beginning with the flexibility, which we have covered in prior webinars, more so going through insurance companies and their flexibility provisions. This is going to be specific to the PUA rider. So firstly, it depends 100% on the insurance carrier. What that means is depending on what insurance company we use, they're going to have different rules around how flexible that PUA is, that PUA rider. And what that actually means is how flexible they are in allowing us adding money into the policy. Some companies will allow us to add extra funds really at our leisure, meaning if I want to throw another $10,000, for example, into my policy cash value, some companies will just let me write a check or go on my online account and wire the funds in, and that's it. Very simple, very easy to use. Some companies will allow us only to add additional funds one time a year. In many cases, they'll require that it fall on your policy anniversary date, which just so happens to be the same time we're making our base premium contribution. Now, what many people are not aware of is if I'm adding money into cash, this is my PUA component, and I'm adjusting it one time a year or adding at leisure, this means I can adjust my amount at the same time, meaning year one, I might pay in $10,000 into my PUA component, which is dumping money straight into cash value. Year two, I might pay in $50,000. Year three, it might be zero. Point being, I can bounce it up and down. It is not like a base premium contribution, which is a fixed premium amount, which is difficult to adjust. Yes, with the base premium dollars, there are times I can adjust it downwards after I start a policy, but it is not nearly as flexible as the paid up additions rider. So let's progress on here. Some companies let us throw extra money into PUAs only if we go through medical underwriting again. And a thing to clarify here is this, there's a big difference when it comes to adding money into PUAs. I'm going to type in another bullet point here. If I am adding PUAs on a scheduled or non-scheduled or unscheduled basis, let's do this. PUAs may be contributed on a scheduled or unscheduled basis. So scheduling PUAs. This is scheduling a PUA payment to be made just like a base premium contribution. So if I have a $10,000 base premium and I schedule a $10,000 PUA addition, PUA contribution in addition to my base premium, I'm contributing them at the exact same time. I'm enhancing the cash values. It's going in, if I'm paying it yearly or monthly, they're all going in together. If I schedule that from the beginning, that typically does not require medical underwriting other than what I went through when I first started a policy. When it comes to the unscheduled PUA contributions, here's where some companies are flexible and some companies are not. So here, back up to C, we've got that piece. Some companies will allow us to add paid up additions, PUA contributions, only if medical underwriting is completed. this would 100% have to do with unscheduled PUA contributions. Meaning, I have a policy, I'm 5 or 10 years into it, whenever I say, hey, I came into an inheritance, came across a windfall, I've got an extra 50 grand I want to add into the policy. If I dump $50,000 into a policy, yes, that's going to enhance my cash value, that's going to accelerate it. But remember that an unscheduled PUA contribution is not something that we let the company know we were doing up front. So when we add money into cash like this, 50 grand, if that was the number, that goes into cash, begins to earn dividends right away, looks great. What does it also do for us? It will buy us more death benefit. Here is what we want to be aware of. Is if I dump 50 grand into cash out of nowhere, naturally, that will purchase me another $150,000 in life insurance death benefit on average. Might be a little bit more or less depending on her age. Now, depending on how I have the policy set up, that might be easy to dump in. They won't have any problems, they being the company. Or they might say, hold up, before you add that money in there, we want to check your health. Why are you adding money all of a sudden? Is it because you want to triple the inheritance for your beneficiaries? We're doing it for the cash in most cases. But always remember that from the insurance company's perspective, they're looking to protect themselves and all the policyholders. They're a mutually held company. So they're going to examine why contributions are made, especially if it increases their liability. So going back to 100% depends on the carrier, we want to know these rules up front, which a lot of our webinars and short videos have touched on this in the past. But when it comes to PUA contributions, in particular on the unscheduled feature, it's good to be aware of this. Now, some companies will limit how much we can add into PUAs. We'll see a lot of companies have a 4X limit, meaning if I have a base premium of $1,000 a year, they'll let me add more into unscheduled PUAs, but it's going to be a total of 4 times that. So $4,000 a year would be my maximum contribution. And why they cap us out, it's not that they don't want our money. We all know they want it. It's more so because when I add money into PUAs like that, what does it do? It increases my death benefit. Even if I have the MEC limit to handle it, because it increases their liability, that's why they put that limit on there. And if we want to go higher, a lot of times they'll allow it. They'll just want us to go through medical underwriting first to make sure that our health is okay and they're not going to be paying out a claim the next day. That's really what they're looking for. Next, we've got the 10X rule when it comes to the base premium contributions. So some companies, which anyone who's on the call that's ever attended our webinars or has spoken with me knows that I refer to that frequently, that we can contribute 10X the base premium if we set the policy up properly with one of the major mutual companies. With the big four, you'll often see that ratio, that 10X rule, is the maximum. Now, with that said, some companies, and these are typically very smaller companies that even with these limits, they don't perform that attractive, which is why we don't use them, don't have a limit. They'll take the money just to help grow the company as much as they can. But if you are sticking with the quality companies and it's designed properly, meaning we've got the appropriate term riders and everything, we've got other webinars and segments on that, typically you're going to see that 10X rule. Whatever my base premium is, I can 10X that via cash contributions per year. So there's some education on flexibility. Let's progress on. Under fees, this is one of the most confusing pieces out there when we are reading any type of life insurance illustration or literature. A lot of people in the business don't even understand it. I have a hard time understanding it when I'm breaking things down and I talk to a representative at a company and they don't give me a clear answer, which you all love when that happens. So a company will often have a PUA fee, or they'll refer to it as a load, service fee, deduction that is associated with the account or PUA contributions. For example, if we look at some of the big companies, take a MassMutual. They have two PUA rider components. They have their Lister feature and their Ailer feature. When we add money to either one of those areas, what we're doing is enhancing our cash. It's PUAs is what it is. The Lister has a little bit of term. You're going to see on the contract language, depending on which option I pick, a fee of anywhere from 7.5% to 8%. If you look at a company like Guardian, they have on their literature, they call it pure PUA contributions, a fee of 5%. If you look at New York Life, often you'll see that at 8%. Northwestern, I've got to go back and refer to theirs. They probably updated it since the last time I saw it. Some smaller companies will have a large range. Saw a smaller company, Lafayette, have a range anywhere from 5 to 20%. But they reserve the right to raise their PUA fee if they wanted to. Here's the big thing. If we take any of these loads, these service fees that the companies have in their contract language, people see that. I saw it at first, and it's scary. We say, wait a minute. If a company is paying me dividends and interest, say it's MassMutual, paying me 6.4%, and they're telling me that they're going to deduct 8%, like it doesn't make sense. With Guardian, if I have a 5.85% dividend, and they're telling me they're going to deduct 5%, that means I get 0.85%. On paper, we read that. That's what it makes it make it sound like. In reality, this is the furthest thing from the truth. And I'm always shocked that the companies don't spell this out more clearly, because it actually benefits them and the policyholder to fully understand it. And this is what we're really going to study here this evening with the spreadsheet too. Before we do that, is whenever we see a fee, we're going to focus on a Guardian example. The only reason we're not going to look at MassMutual this evening is because the Guardian example took me way more time than anticipated. So we're going to roll with that one today. Next week, we might do MassMutual. So with their 5% fee on PUA contributions, here's the biggest takeaway. This is a gross fee that is deducted from each PUA payment. And when I say gross, is the instant it hits, it never hits 5%. The first year, you will see a negative hit. Once we hit year two and from that point forward, the compounding, the interest I'm earning on PUA contributions alone is going to completely negate that. And you're going to see a breakdown of everything via the spreadsheets we put together. So then C, it is critical to look at the net returns. And this is the case when we're looking at dividends as well. Mm-hmm. Where a company might advertise a dividend of 6%, but does that mean we're earning 6%? No. The net's going to fall anywhere, if our dividend rate's 6%, somewhere between 4 and 5% most likely. Mm-hmm. Net returns and values. We've got review spreadsheet, and that is exactly what we're going to do. So what we have here, I'm going to pull up the detailed ledgers first. In fact, let me do that. I'm way too far down here. Let's just cut this off after 30 years to simplify. There we go. So what we ran for this study, to give you a little bit of background, we've got a 45-year-old male. A case with a $10,000 base premium. So if 10K is my base premium, how would I optimize that policy? Or I should say, what is the most aggressive blend? How can I max fund that account? Well, the company will let me contribute what? 10 times that premium per year as a maximum contribution, 100K a year. 1090 split, 10,000 in premium, 90,000 in cash. So we ran that as an example, but when I'm studying the pure PUA contributions, cash value, what I want to look at first is if I just take a policy with a $10,000 base premium, going back to a great example of what not to do, and I only paid that, what I want to see first is what is the cash value generated from that. Because remember, premium dollars are not just a forever expense like a term policy. They do build equity. They build up cash. We're going to see exactly what it does here and why it is important to be aware of what that is when I'm attempting to study the net returns of the PUA cash values, I got to make sure I factor in the earnings I'm getting off of the base premium as well. Otherwise, it'll overinflate the PUAs and make them look too good to be true. So I'm going to walk through this spreadsheet slowly here. Oh, I forgot to go through the detail ledgers, just so we've got the supporting data. So what we have is again a 45-year-old male, FIRD Plus, ran at the best class. Not that it matters, we just kept everything consistent. Example one, $10,000 base premium. That's the whole life benefit it gets me. Okay. All these columns. Net premium, we paid into the account for 10 years, nothing thereafter. Net cash value. This is the cash value buildup based off of only premium dollars, not adding anything into PUAs. Yes, dividends are being reinvested, right? But that's going to happen in any case with premium and/or PUAs. But the cash value, this is important. You'll see why. Then we've got the same policy. Well, when I say same policy, it's the same in the sense that here's my base premium. Here's my whole life benefit. It is exactly the same. If I go back and look at my base guaranteed cash values on both screens, that will be the same as well. And because that's based off of the base premium alone. Now, what changes, obviously, here I've got my term rider. Here I've got a big paid up additions rider contribution, about 90 grand. Now, you're going to see this in the spreadsheet as well. Of that 90, we need to carve out the cost of the term rider. So of that 90,000, about 1467 a year went towards the term component. You're going to see exactly what that cost is year over year. Net cash value. This column is critical. Cash value of all ads. That represents the net values off of my PUA contributions and the interest earned off of my PUA contributions. What is not included in this column is the base premium. Important to be aware of as we go through this. A lot of data. Know this one is ultra complex compared to some of our webinars. And we'll probably go through this in more data next week or in more detail next week. So let's break it down here. On the left, we have the traditional policy, just base premium. $10,000 base, $10,000 outlay, cash value, death benefit. Not that that really matters for this study. Then we've got second example. Base premium is exactly the same. Now in blue, we've got the total outlay. To ensure accuracy, what we had to do here is I'm paying in 100, but again, 90,000 does not go into PUAs. We've got to back out the term rider cost. Right, so we've got the term rider attached. The purpose for that, again, that's how we got the MEC limit up to where we needed with still carrying a 10K base premium. The only way we can 10X a base premium contribution and not trigger a MEC is by adding a term rider. You have to have that with a life insurance policy. So if our total outlay is 100, what we've got here in purple, the PUA rider contribution, is the net amount that is being contributed toward PUAs each year. Right in this spreadsheet, if we've got any technical guys checking it out, what we did was simply use formulas to get the net numbers. Now here in bold, base premium cash value. What this is these are the exact values pulled from the example on the left, the policy with pure premium. You'll see those two match, right? And it's going to be important that we look at that here as well, because when you look at the net cash value, that's totaling any money I added in PUAs plus the base premium cash value. So when I'm looking at just the PUA contributions, I can't really include that in there. It inflates my numbers. Maybe from a sales standpoint, it makes the numbers look better, but I don't know if that's ethically right. Let's progress on. So PUA cash value here. What's nice to note about this is my net contribution the first year was $88,533. Okay. What showed up in PUA cash value is $86,863. Now there's a discrepancy there between that and the net cash value, $87,184. What that is the first year, $322 did show up in cash as a result of my 10K base premium contribution. So that $322 cannot be added into the PUA cash value. That's coming from another source. And I know this is complex. If anyone would like me to repeat any of this, let me know. So again, net PUA contribution goes in. Net PUA cash value. Now on Guardian's literature, they state that there will be a 5% PUA load. If I take 5% of 88,533, that's over 4,400 bucks. That means I should have about $84,000 in cash. I have 86,8 show up from that PUA contribution. Why do they have the 5% load in there if it's not 5%? That's my big question. And you get 10,000 different answers every time you ask them. Any company that is. So what we ran here is, okay, what's the net, right? How much, if I make a PUA contribution, if I pay an 88, I've got 86,8, it's a negative return. Negative 1670. Okay. First year's negative. Now each year, if this is my gross load, how much they're deducting, what I still want to see is, well, what's my net? Because beginning year two, if I'm stuffing money into cash, whether it's 100 a year or whether it's 10,000 a year, 5,000, whatever it is, if my ratios are the same with a 1090 split, I'm going to see similar returns. The outcome is going to be the same or very similar. A little bit more goes into PUAs, right? And the reason it's a little bit more each year is because my term cost is gradually decreasing. So my net out of pocket is 100K. Of that 100, I know 10 is going towards the base premium. Here's the amount going towards the term. By the way, why that's going down each year? Here's my term rider. Gradually decreasing. We've gone through that in other webinars and calls. If anyone would like an explanation on it, we can go through it at the end as well in this one. But main point, my PUA rider contribution increases not because I'm adding more money. I'm still paying in the same net of 100K in this example. The difference is a little bit less is going towards term. Especially if we take this a step further and look at the returns from a percentage standpoint, that'll make it even more fun. So PUA growth, this is assuming year two, 88,694 goes in. How much comes back is that 88,694 plus another 55,76. That does include the interest that's now producing. What's important to note is this column, this PUA cash value column, and this growth is based off of just the PUA cash value, not the net. So it's assuming dividends and interest I'm earning off of PUA contributions only. And it shows each year, here's my deposit going in. If this is my 5% load on paper, okay, that's what they say they're charging. Not to say I don't really care, but I'm getting this much back net. By the 10th year, I mean, this is assuming I stuffed it with $1 million over 10 years. Looks pretty good. Of the 89 that goes in, I get that 89,903 back plus another 61,404. And yes, that is compounding interest at that time, so it's accelerating the growth. Main point being is they have these fees that are advertised. And I like the word gross because they're not accurate in the sense of looking at my net cash value the first year. It's a negative return, but it's not negative 5%, not even close. And then each year thereafter, I'm positive. Good to be aware of. This is just Guardian with the 5% load. We'll likely do examples on Mass and other companies as well, just because they all function differently. Know this is a lot to absorb as well. If you do have questions, this was recorded. So this will be posted. Why don't we start now just by opening it up to questions based off the material we reviewed. I saw a couple come through. Let me just review them. Kareem, is the 10x base premium the highest multiple for mutual carriers? With the big four, typically you'll see that, yes. Some smaller companies, Security Mutual is one of them. They've got a nice feature if you've got it set up with a term rider. There's really no limit. You can go 40x if you want. The only thing is, and at first when I heard that and saw it, it was super attractive. I still have not seen, even at that ratio, them outperform one of the big four companies. And that's the big thing, always going back to real performance, and even on a projection at that ratio, they still don't allow it. Or don't outperform it, I'm sorry. Another question from Kareem. Does the 10x base premium for the maximum contribution include the premium payment itself? Depends on the carrier, actually. Some net it at 10x, some are an additional 10x on top, so it'd be 11 times. But going off of that 10 times rule, I mean, even if you take this example that we have, it's 10 times in the sense 100's going in. Base premium's 10, but in reality, it's nine x and change, because I've got a little bit going towards the term. Yeah, so which one is Guardian? So Guardian, I've got my base premium. They'll allow you to contribute 10x on top of the base premium. Mass will allow me to contribute 10x the base premium. And this is also assuming every time we get into that 10x rule that I've got the appropriate decreasing term rider attached. If I don't have that, they won't allow it, or they will, but they're going to want me to go through medical underwriting first, which is important to be aware of. Good questions. Anything else specifically on the PUA rider? Okay. Well, if you do have questions, you can always email us. Just reply to the email you had received the link from itself, or you can email us directly at our info address. Well, if no other questions, we can stop here. Appreciate everybody taking some time to connect this evening, and feel free to reach out with any questions, especially on this topic. What we'll probably do is go through another company or maybe a couple different ways to model policies with the PUA load, or take it a couple steps further as far as breaking down the net internal rate of return on PUA contributions. Very detailed stuff, but it is helpful if we're trying to understand these products in and out. Take care, guys.